Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your girl, Jessie Mapaluso, coming to you in your ear. Another week of the Sharp Tongue Podcast. And I'm going to ask you to rate the pod 5 stars. You already know it. Rate the podcast 5 stars. We're going for 1,000 five-star ratings, and you can make my dream come true. Go on over and make it happen, baby. Also, I'm coming to you live. I have a bunch of dates this year. I will be in Syracuse a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Another party central in Syracuse, New York at the Funny Bone. That's a Wednesday before Thanksgiving in November. I also have a date coming up at the Comedy on the Carlson in Rochester. I will be next weekend, March 29th and 30th. I will be at Panama City Beach, Florida at Beaches. It's a new comedy club. I'm going to be opening that weekend there. I also am going to be in Los Angeles for the Netflix is a Joke Festival, May 10th, one night only at the Bourbon Room in California, Hollywood, one night only, Netflix is a Joke Fest at the Bourbon Room, May 10th. I'll have my girlfriend, Katie Cazorla. I have Crystal Marie, also my bestie from another nestie, Justin Martindale, and a few others. Few others coming through to share the stage with me and make you laugh. And don't forget, a portion of the ticket proceeds and a portion of my merch goes towards the Alzheimer's Association and also Hilarity for charity. So thank you ahead of time for your donation and thank you for your listenership. I appreciate you guys so much. If you want to call the pod, give us a call, 513-916-0930. Leave us a voicemail that could be played on the podcast. And without further ado, I hope you enjoy this week's episode of the Sharp Tongue Podcast with me. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Paluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up. This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary, a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty. You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. Talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Hey, everybody. How you doing? How you living? Are you jealous of my shirt? If you're watching the pod, you're probably totally jealous. This is one of the finds from cleaning out the house. And I decided, you know, I do want to do a recap of selling the house because we did do a grief survival guide episode. Let's just do a regular one. It's not going to be this week. This week, we're going to go through some current events that are happening that are interesting and things that I want to talk about. But I am going to talk about all the things that I discovered in the house in another episode. And one of these things is what I'm wearing. New Kids on the Block, legitimate NKOTB. I always mess that up. I would do it fast and be like NKTOB. That's not right. New Kids on the Block t-shirt. This is legitimately from the 90s. So am I, thank you. Don't do the math. This shirt is something that we probably got at a concert because that's the life we lived when we were in our youth. And I found a pile of these t-shirts amidst a bunch of other things. So I'm going to talk about all the stuff I found, all the treasures I discovered in that challenging week, 10 days of cleaning out my childhood home, which is still not cleaned out completely yet. So it is a process, but we're going to talk about that next time. Before we get too deep, you know, I'm going to ask you to rate the podcast 5 stars. We've got over 600 reviews and ratings. Thank you. We're kicking it up a notch. Please get in there. Click 5-star rating. It takes 2 seconds. It makes my day and it's going to make your day because you're being generous. You're doing a good deed. We'll count that as your good deed for the day. So rate the pod 5 stars. I appreciate you ahead of time. And a portion of any shows you guys come to see, any merch that you buy, any way that you support me, a portion of that will go towards Alzheimer's Association and Hilarity for Charity. So making sure that everybody who supports me knows that ahead of time, not the head of time. How about that sip? How about that for a sip. I don't want to get too deep without thanking Charlotte's Web CBD company. That is one of the most generous companies that I have come across. They sent me a care basket when my father was sick, and I physically saw the effects that it had on my father, the benefits that he reaped from taking one of their extra strength oils when he was going through basically the stages of death. It gave my father great relief. And one of my friends has a son who has pretty severe autism, and we wanted to get her something. So thank you to Charlotte's Web for being so generous and sending something to a friend of mine, and hopefully that gives her some relief as well. And also, I found something. I know a couple episodes ago when we were doing the episode for International Women's Day on March 8th, I was talking about that quote that I couldn't think of, and then I finally thought of a well-behaved woman rarely makes history. That was one of my mother's favorite quotes. As I was cleaning out the house, I found a hat with that phrase on it. And I thought, oh, so, you know, not only did she live by it, but she wore it. She walked the walk and talked the talk. So my sister ended up keeping the hat, and I asked her for a photo of it. I don't think she sent it yet because she's got children that need more important things than her to be taking photos of hats. But I thought that was interesting because we had talked about that, or I had spoke about it. And what else happened? A lot happened when I was home. I hung out with my niece a lot, and her and I, our bond has gotten deeper. It's fun to be around children and have them grow up and their personalities start to come out, and you realize, oh, you do have like agency over yourself. It's strange to have like an 8-year-old know what they want, to be so self-assured. It's like, how do you know what you want? How can you know that that's exactly what you want? You're 8. Elliot's 8. Karina's 6. I think that's the math. And they're just so self-assured. And that, to me, that's a sign of a good parent. When your kid is self-assured, maybe there's some people out there that are like, oh, I think a kid should be a little insecure. Prepare them for the world. There might be something to that. But Karina and Elliot are so confident, it's jarring. It's very demobilizing to be around them. And it sort of breaks you down a little bit. I don't know if demobilizing is the right word, but they definitely do something to my soul when they're being so confident and saying things with such conviction, you know. I had told her, Karina, that I was going to go to karate class with her. Now, that's the thing with children. Children are so important for adults because they make you accountable. And I think accountability is one of the things that's sort of missing right now. I think people are getting off and getting away with a lot more than they and we used to. And so for me, the beauty of children is they rely on you. And that reliability requires you to be more accountable. And it's a challenge because I don't have little people or lives that are dependent on me. But if I don't do what I say I'm going to do for them, it totally disrupts me on a molecular level. It disrupts everything. It doesn't feel right. Not showing up for them just doesn't feel right for me. And I think that's love. And I don't know if I'll ever know the deeper version of that. Becoming a mother, I don't know if that's something that I would, an experience I'm going to have. It's not 100% ruled out right now. Excuse me, but I just don't know if that's going to be something that is in the cards for me. So these kids are like the closest things I have to experiencing that sort of non-negotiable accountability. And so when I got home, Karina really wanted me to go to karate class with her. That's right. We got our girl in karate class. Don't waste your time with the Barbies. Look, give them the Barbies, but give them karate too. You want to prepare your girls from the real world? Don't just hand her a Barbie. Why can't Barbie have a hatchet? Why can't Barbie be also a murderer? Barbie should be able to do things that Ken can do too. Okay? So if you're going to hand your daughter a Barbie, make sure you give her a hi-ya. Where's Karate Barbie? I don't even know if there is a Karate Barbie. That's a total miss by Mattel. So Karina's in karate class, and I think it's cool. I wish I would have taken karate. I took violin for a week. And I was done. I was like, I'm never going to make it past Mary Had a Little. No one's ever going to know what Mary had. Was it a lamb? We don't know. I couldn't get to that note. So I quit. violin moves slower than a snail. It's the slowest instrument ever. So I'm glad that Karina's in karate class. I think it's a lot of fun. And when I got home, Karina was like, will you come to karate with me? And my sister had asked me, and I said, yeah, I'll go to karate with you, but not right when I get there because, you know, we have a lot going on and we have adult stuff to do. Kids don't understand that. That's a frustrating thing about a child when you're like, I just can't because I have this adult stuff to do. And the kid's like, well, what could be more important than going to the Cheesecake Factory? And you're like, nothing is, but everything is. So it's hard to sort of rationalize with them in their little beautiful brains that just live in the moment that have yet to have any real world responsibility other than holding their hand out and getting whatever the fuck they want or need at all times of the day, which I don't think really prepares them for the world. But again, probably one of the reasons why I'm not a mom. Throw my kid out in the woods and tell her to find her way home. Then I know she's ready for the real world and ready for independence. But Karina said, are you going to come to karate today? And I said, I can't today, but next time you go to karate, I'll go. Now, Karina's pretty straightforward, but she's also sensitive. So she didn't say this to me directly, but my sister's like, Karina's asking about karate again. And I couldn't go to the second class she had because we were cleaning out the house. There's a lot going on. So my sister asked me again, and I went to Karina. I go, why didn't you ask me? She didn't want to come to me and be like, hey, you said you were going to do something and I'm still waiting for you to do it. So she went around, she went over my head. This is an example of going over my head to the boss instead of coming to me directly and making me look like an asshole. I was planning on going. I just hadn't committed to a day yet because Emily and I had to clean out this freaking house. So then I decided to take her. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take her to karate. We find a day that works. She was pumped. We get there. It's not so much a karate class as it is a place for parents to put their really wild children in for 45 minutes. It's not, you might be thinking they're karate kid. This is more like a sugar run. All the kids have had sugar and they're just running around kicking the air going, tia, 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 tia. The instructor's really great with children. I will say that. Very patient. He has to be. Everyone's sitting there watching. Can you imagine this guy just whips these kids around in front of the parents? That'd be a karate class I'd pay for. Really get in there. Show discipline. And I wondered, I thought to myself, at what age does it go from like cute karate class to where you can get away with not exactly nailing the moves because you're four to getting reprimanded because you're not nailing the moves? Like, what age is that? Is it 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9? Like, where do we start to step in and go, all right, you got to really show me that you can do it. Because these kids are rolling around doing somersaults, staring in the air. One kid kept picking his butt. The other one was just rolling around on the ground. And it's called karate class, but it's a generous term for what's going on. But Karina is good at it. This isn't me bragging because I'm the aunt. This girl's solid. She's got abs. She's got like quads. She walks and she walks hard. It's like she walks like she's done some hard time. Are you going to get out, Carlin? Carlin just left. He's going to go out and play in the yard. So she's out just doing karate, doing her thing. And I didn't know that I had to participate. So I'm on my phone looking at Amazon, which I agree is not what I should have been doing. And as I say that, I remember sitting there and looking at everybody. Everybody was on their phones. All the parents were on their phones. And I thought to myself, I can't be on Amazon. What am I teaching Karina if I told her I was going to do something, I show up and I don't pay attention? It's little, but it's big. It's a minor thing, but it's everything. Because she kept looking at me to make sure I was paying attention. And a couple of times I was on my phone, I was on Amazon, and I said, I can't do this. I'm the person who does not like when people have their phones during dinner. Unless you're a mom and you need to keep in touch with the babysitter or there's some medical anomaly or issue going on, we don't need the phone at dinner time. So I realized I was being a hypocrite being at karate. She really needed me. So I put my phone down and I looked at him like, wow, none of these parents are paying attention. And I don't think it needs to be that way. I don't know how it got to be so bad, but there's no way it needs to be that bad. There's no way that these parents need to be on their cell phone while their kid's at karate. Or if they do, that's even worse. If they really do need to be on their phone, the implications of that are 10 times worse, in my opinion. So I sat there and I paid attention. And then they said something about, you know, volunteers. I assumed there was just some other kids that were going to step up and volunteer, but no, I had to step in the ring. I had to get in the ring. I had to get one of those karate pads that you hold up so people can kick. And, you know, these kids are like between the ages of 5 and 8, I believe. I didn't hold anything back. You're going to come at me with a karate kick? I'm going to defend myself. Now, am I 41? Yes, I'm 41 years old. Am I 5'6" and a half? Yeah, yes, I'm 5'6" and a half. The half really matters. Are you a teeny little 4-year-old who's been rolling around picking his butt? Yes, yes, you are. Am I going to shove you down with a karate mat? 1,000%, because I've lived life and I know how difficult it is. And this may hurt now, but it's going to help you down the road. Okay, Timmy? You're welcome. Because your mom didn't even notice that I shoved your ass back on the karate pad because she's too busy being on Wayfair.com to pay attention. Told her not to get the chair because it was horrible. Pay attention to your kid, because I'm out here as an aunt showing up more than the parents were for their own children. Am I martyring myself? You're goddamn right I am. You're goddamn right I am martyring myself, because all these other martyr fuckers weren't even doing anything. So step up. If you're going to say you're going to do something, do it, especially for a kid. Karina's like, can we get boba? Yeah, we can get boba. Is it filled with sugar? Put it in the cart. Do we need it? Don't think about it. Put it in the cart. We got boba before the karate class because I thought, look, if this kid's going to be jam-packed full of sugar, we're going to have her burn it out the right way. Get her the sugar ahead of time. Let her go kick some bitches at class. Boom. Didn't spike the glucose and learned a little defense karate. So when we're in the boba place, it's like Hakuna Matata. I don't know the name of the place. Makiyuma. Makama. Makayumi. Makiyami. Makumi. Mayakumi. It's a chain. They have boba. You know, the chewy shit. Some of you are probably like, I love it. The other half of you are like, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. Either love or hate tapioca. It's like cilantro. It's a very dividing texture and flavor. It's not really a flavor as much as it is a texture. Karina loves it. So we go to boba and we walk in and Michael Jackson's playing. There's all these kids there and Michael Jackson's playing. And I thought, are we ever going to not listen to Michael Jackson? Am I mad about it? Not necessarily. I was standing in line, standing next to my niece, singing along to Michael Jackson. Am I a walking hypocrite? Look, I never said that I agreed with anything that happened to Michael Jackson. I'm not denying what happened. All I'm saying is we can't deny the magic that was Michael. If he didn't do whatever he was accused of doing, allegedly, he is and forever will be the king of pop. Just hope he's not the king of touch, because that just hurts my soul. It hurts my soul. But you know what? It's a good thing that there are some things in the world that can heal your soul. This little bit of information has healed my soul ever since I found out that it was happening. And I can't express how excited I am about this. Beetlejuice 2 is on its way with... The cast is unbelievable. It's Michael Keaton. It's Winona Ryder. It's the homegirl from Wednesday. What's her name? It's in the article here. Oh, God. Jenna Ortega. There's also William Dafoe, Monica Bellucci, and Justin Theroux, and OG Catherine O'Hara. Are you kidding me? I cannot wait for this movie. Beetlejuice was one of my favorite movies growing up. Michael Keaton, you all know how I feel about him. I sent him a DM that Carly Aquilino told me to delete immediately. It was not like anything inappropriate other than the fact that it was filled with cringe. I'm a genuine fan of Michael Keaton. Used to be a stand-up comedian. He's picked a lot of really fun roles. Birdman was awesome. Mr. Mom, iconic. And Beetlejuice. Come on, he played such an iconic role in Beetlejuice. He was Beetlejuice. Well, the long-awaited sequel to the original cult hit Tim Burton movie has released its first look photos, and they look amazing. 36 years after the original Beetlejuice premiered in 1988, Michael Keaton is back as the ghoulish-looking, black-and-white stripe-wearing, bio-exorcist Beetlejuice, and I can't wait. I'm so excited. It's like there's no place like home. It's the same as Beetlejuice. Burton, who's 65, who returns to direct, said that he and Michael Keaton have discussed a sequel for many years, but unless it felt right, he had no burning desire to do it. And I think we all felt the same way. It only made sense if it had an emotional hook. Oh, God, why does everything have to have an emotional hook? Does everything have to mean something? Watch, it might be good. I'm not going to jump to conclusions. I just hope that there's no subliminal political wokeness in it. I hope there's nothing but good old-fashioned Beetlejuice fun. I hope they don't try to change the system too much. That's what happens. That's where sequels really go wrong. They try to mix with the original recipe. Why are you messing with the original recipe? We're here because of the original recipe. So don't mess with it. So hopefully it feels right for a good reason and not for any other reason. The original movie followed Barbara and Adam. That was Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin, for all of those who are wondering who the heck those people are. Alec Baldwin, yes, the actor, also known as the person who accidentally shot a gun, who accidentally hurt people on set and killed people. They died and find themselves as new ghosts. Their home was bought by the Dietz family. That's Jeffrey Jones and Delia, who plays Catherine O'Hara. Oh my God, and she's back. The queen is back. You've got to watch Schitt's Creek if you haven't watched Schitt's Creek. Look, if people tell you over and over that something's good, just watch it. Even if you think, you look at it, you're like, I'm not going to like it. I thought the same thing of Banshees of Inisherin. My cousin Jimmy told me about the Banshees of Inisherin. It's a movie with Colin Farrell. He told me about it for so long. Sent me the link. He's like, you got to watch this. I'm like, I'm not going to like it. Never even saw it. Didn't even see a preview. Watched it. It's one of my favorite movies. So don't be so sure that you even know what you like. Yes, am I trying to force you to watch Beetlejuice? Absolutely. Since the afterlife involves complicated bureaucracy, the Maitlands enlist the help of an obnoxious bioexorcist. That's Beetlejuice. So that was the original movie. And I don't really know what's going to happen with the sequel. They're not giving too much information other than the fact that it has an emotional hook. Oh, God, I've been on an emotional hook for 5 years. I'm looking to get off of it. Burton told the outlet the sequel picks up decades later after death in the family. There's something that happens that sets things in motion. That's basically all he said. He said the emotional hook of the sequel was Lydia growing up and untying with her mother and uniting with her mother and daughter. I've read it as untying. That's hilarious. I went to see Beetlejuice on Broadway in New York. I brought one of my besties to go see it. And it actually happened on a complete whim. Her and I hang out twice a year, my bestie Natalie, and, you know, we kind of do a loose plan in the city because NYC is fun. It's a spontaneous city. You can walk everywhere. So it's really a fun city to just let it tell you what the day is going to be as opposed to you trying to plan it. In my opinion, it's the greatest city for spontaneity to arise. And so we allowed for a lot of spontaneity in the day. I planned us a spa massage, which ended up being in a very questionable upstairs apartment, and I think Natalie was Me Too. I'm just kidding. The massage was not one where you're like hanging out afterwards. You're like, let's get our shit and go. Don't even put your shoes on. Let's get out of here. And this was also a trip, speaking of spontaneity, where I happened to run into one of my friends, not once, not twice, three times in a row, in the middle of the streets at multiple locations, which was just insane. If you think of how big the city is and how many people are in the city, the fact that you even run into somebody you know is wild, let alone three times in one day. So I ran into him three times with my friend Natalie. And then, you know, we were getting dinner. We're like, what are we going to do? We decided to go to Beetlejuice. Yes, we did. We decided to go to Beetlejuice. And it was so much fun on Broadway. I hit the cast up afterwards and told them how much I loved the show. And it was a blast. We were blitzed. We got souvenir mugs. I still have the Beetlejuice. Is that the Beetlejuice bag over there, Deb? No, there's a Beetlejuice bag somewhere in the studio. I got mugs. I got souvenirs. Look, I'm a fan. I'm a fan for life. So it was so much fun. So I cannot wait for this movie to come back out. I will be seeing this in the theater. And, you know, I have all the faith in the world. Beetlejuice will hit theaters on September 6th, 2024. It can't come soon enough. It cannot come soon enough. Now, I'm going to call these little updates that we're doing right now, these little news stories, ABCs, because basically everybody involved in the stories, it's Beetlejuice. We're going to be talking about Bruce Springsteen. We're going to be talking about Badu and Beyonce. We're going to be talking about Cheez-Its and Delta. So the ABCDs. Up next, Bruce Springsteen returns to stage looking unrecognizable and a little bit like Tilda Swinton. How do you say her name? Swinton? Tilda Swinton? I know her name, but reading it is throw me for a loop. Basically, Bruce Springsteen showed up and he's looking a little rough. And, you know, before I went in and wanted my comedic voice to take over in my mind, I was like, let me just see what's going on. So he's been sick. This guy has been sick with some sort of pancreatic disorder. And he's starting a peptic ulcer disease. I thought it was pancreatic, but he has this like ulcer disease. So he looks a little rough. As what happens when not only just when you get older, but when you're getting older and getting sick. And, you know, it's easy to just say some jokes about how he looks, because he does look like Tilda Swinton for sure. Sweeten, Swinton, Swinton, Swinton. Is the N silent? I don't know. He definitely looked a little feminine, but the man is sick and still touring. And I guess that's the question for me. It makes me think of that Neil Young lyric. It's better to burn out than to fade away. Maybe it's better to fade away. Not in the sense that you fade away dying, but in the sense where how many more concerts are going to be enough for these guys? Rolling Stones just came out with another album. Why? Why? And it's like in a society and world and generation where we need skilled workers, we need workers to do real jobs. How come the only people who are still working are 79-year-old rock and roll artists? We need people at Chipotle. We need people at the gas station. We need people working at the hospital. You know, they've got hiring signs all across this country. You know where they aren't putting up hiring signs? Because they're overly stocked. The entertainment industry. So I'm going to propose a draft for entertainers to have to work in the real workforce. The jobs are blue collar, middle of the road, come with dental insurance. Good luck. Get off the stage and get behind the counter, because we need some real help.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
People were making fun of the way Bruce looked. I don't think he needs to be on stage. If you're sick as an artist, go get better. Nobody wants to see you struggling. You can't sing the hits while you're struggling. You can't look like the boss and Tilda Swinton. Swinton, Swinton, Swinton. I'm never going to know how to say her name. It's the easiest name ever. I don't know how to say it. I just think he needs to take a nap. Chill out. I think enough of the older white dudes hanging on, just white knuckling to presidency and white knuckling to the microphone. I think you guys just need to get like a tuna sandwich and a nap. You guys need to just have, you know, those cookies with the jelly in the middle. You need that and some tea and get off the stage. Go and get some real healing in rest. I mean, Jesus, Bruce Springsteen's been singing since the 70s. 40 years. It's as long as I've been alive. Do you still need to sing? Peptic ulcer disease? Never even heard of it. It sounds horrible. That's why he keeps postponing these shows. But hey, it's his choice. If he wants to burn out on stage, burn out, buddy. Shine bright. I wish you the best. I wish you the best. Up in some more music news, Erykah Badu
shades Beyonce's country album cover and then pleads with Jay-Z to help. So basically, Erykah Badu talked crap about Beyonce's album cover. Now, here's the thing about Badu. She's a trendsetter. If you're not familiar with Erykah Badu, she is a neo-soul artist, one of my favorites from back in the day. She was very popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, and still has been able to cut some tracks and stay relevant. And the thing about her, when you're talking about the spectrum of music, like Beyonce's mainstream, and Erykah Badu is on the periphery of mainstream. That's why I consider her a real artist. You can't deny her influence. And obviously, these mainstream girls are going to be influenced by Erykah because she's that cool. She is that cool. She's such an individual. And she's almost on the periphery of what's trending because usually on that part of the musical spectrum, that's where the true artists stand. And I'm not saying that Beyonce isn't an artist, but she's a mainstream artist. And Badu's in the same stream. She's just swimming against it. So that's what sort of, in my mind, is a differentiating factor. They're both artists, but I think Erykah Badu is more of an artist because she is on the outside. She's on the fringe, and she goes against what's trending and then creates her own trend. And then artists who are in the mainstream, I do think sort of mock and rob her style a little bit. I'm sure Erykah's influenced by other people as well. That's what art is. All that art is influence. So what happened here is Erykah said something and the bee's nest came after her, which I think is just, you know, ridiculous. Shouldn't you guys be working, not online, going after Erykah Badu? Like, is this why my beans and my Chipotle burrito are cold? Because you're too busy going after Erykah Badu on social media? She pleaded with Jay-Z to help call off several angry Beyonce fans after Badu seemingly shaded Beyonce's new album cover on social media. To Jay-Z, say something, Jay. You gonna let this woman get these... she says, you gonna let these bees do this to me. Social media strife between the two singers came after the Next Life singer shared a photo of the alternative cover for the single lady songstress upcoming album Act 2, Cowboy Carter, on her Instagram story. So basically, Beyonce shared this photo of her new album cover, and all that Badu said in the caption, some people called it shady, said, Now, I looked at the photo, and I did see a lot of Erykah Badu likeness. I've noticed that on several artists, like SZA also sort of strikes me as a little Badu-ish. I'm sure this is some deep cut. You guys don't know who I'm talking about. I might be saying her name wrong, but I really enjoy her, a newer artist. In the photo, Beyonce posed completely nude, covered with a red, white, and blue banner with it saying Act 2 Beyonce on it. I think that has something to do with her cousin Angie. And it's unclear what exactly set Badu off. Some suspected that it's because Beyonce beaded her hair in the same fashion as Badu does. And the Queen Bee fans are defending her because they have nothing better to do. They should get back to scooping beans, but they're busy defending and buzzing around Beyonce. Some said you deserve the lashings you get right now, auntie. That's all I'm going to say. This woman, you mean his wife? Beyonce doesn't care about you. Hate to tell ya. All she cares about is you buying her $600 concert tickets and her $150 hoodies that were made in Bangladesh. Let's not get it twisted. Sure, she might have a beehive, but does she ever come out of the hive to make sure you guys are doing okay? I'm not saying Badu has done that for me, but I'm going to go for the fringe artist over mainstream all day, every day. And I even called it. I said, what was that artist's name? That country artist, Jenya. Remember I was talking to my assistant Deb about this. When Beyonce's country album came out, I said, this reminds me a lot of that actually, the singer who is an actual country artist, Jenya Johnson or Jenya something, this black country singer who's kind of like a pop country singer, but more country than pop. This is not a country album. It's a Beyonce album. Let's not get it twisted. And I said, this is not country. When Beyonce's country song came out, I was like, this is not country. This is Beyonce singing country. That'd be like me singing reggae. Well, Beyonce be better at it than me because she's very talented. And I'm not hating, but I am pro Badu. This other person said he's going to turn a blind eye to this tweet like you've turned a blind eye to Logic. Meanwhile, one person said you was definitely on that mood board. See, someone gets it. that's all they're saying is that Beyonce was inspired by Badu. Is her name Jenya? She's a black country artist. I think it's Jay something. She's like in her early 20s, and she even said something when Beyonce's album came out. You know, hi, I'm over here. I've been over here doing this for a hot minute. So I just think, you know, let's not deny the fact that Beyonce's influenced. And it's a now deleted Instagram story of Beyonce wearing a metallic hat. And Badu said, I do remember this. She said, I guess I'm everybody's stylist. And I thought that about a lot of different people. I go, oh, it's interesting. It seems like people are very inspired by Badu without even saying it. Her 8th studio album is set to hit airwaves on March 29th. And she said some blah, 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 something about, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. It feels good to see how music can unite so many people. She said, I did a deeper dive into the history of country music and studied our rich musical archive. Did she? My first thought was like, did she really do that or did she pay people to do that? I hope she did the work. I hope she actually did the deep dive and actually looked into studied the musical archive. I doubt it happened. She said, it feels good to see how music can unite so many people around the world while amplifying the voices of some of the people who have dedicated so much of their lives educating on our musical history. It just sounds like a lot of self-congratulatory stuff. I hope she means it. Does she? I don't know. But all I can tell you is that she's definitely influenced by Badu. Whether she wants to admit it or not is on her. She's the one who has to go to sleep at night. And that other country artist, we can't seem to find what her name is. Kenya? Is it Jenya? Kenya? I wonder if it's in my Spotify account. I know I've looked it up. Jenya. Oh, I don't think I can search because I'm on my phones right now. Well, I'll put her name in the notes once we find it afterwards. We interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you a word from our sponsor, Loom. And boy, am I happy that Loom fell into my lap because it made my lap smell better. It's all about stinks. And let me tell you, nothing stinks worse than a hockey bag. Anyone out there dealing with hockey? You know what I'm talking about. If you have a person in your life who plays hockey, a kid, a loved one, man, it smells. What are they doing on the rink? Why can something on ice smell so bad? Doesn't the ice get rid of the stench? It's ungodly. It's otherworldly. Whatever that hockey stench is, it's from another freaking planet. The only other thing I can think that is worse is body odor. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Loom Whole Body Deodorant. You heard me right. Whole body. Unlike other deodorants, Loom is powered by mandelic acid to control your odor in a new way. And let me tell you, your odor is slapping me in the face. And good thing Loom delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control from everywhere, from your pits to your feet. Yes, even your private parts. The unmentionables. In fact, it was a patient's concern about their private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Loom. That's right, it's invented by an OBGYN. Fast forward 6 years later, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant now has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews. Even more of a reason for you to rate this podcast 5 stars. From people like me who love feeling confident from head to toe and smelling confident from head to toe. The whole body deodorant is seriously so good. It smells amazing and it's safe to use anywhere on your body. Pits, under boobs, side boobs, top boob, thigh folds, underneath your butt meat, where your leg meets, where your butt and your leg meet. Slide it right in there. Your belly button. Yeah, your belly button smells. Your belly button holds amoebas from the beginning of time. Even your toes. Your toes are funky. Your vulva, girl, your vulva. Get your vulva clear. We gotta... Everywhere in your body stinks. Keep it fresh. Keep it clean. Clinically proven to block odor all day long and control odor for up to 72 hours. Look, the Loom Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like a little mini body wash. They've got deodorant wipes. I love the deodorant wipes. Toss them in your bag. If you're running around like me, sometimes that odor sneaks up and you've got to get a quick wipe under the pit to get you in that meeting and smelling fresh. In case Brad Pitt walks by, do you want to smell like a pit? No. Plus, they have free shipping. We have a special offer for all of our listeners. New customers get $5 off a Loom Starter Pack. That Starter Pack, again, comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products, and free shipping. All you have to use is code SHARP at LoomDeodorant.com. That equals to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LoomDeodorant.com and use code SHARP. You're one step away from smelling fresh. Just in case you run into Brad Pitt, don't smell like pits. You know, people have been talking a lot about this whole Nickelodeon thing. I'm not one to like to talk about things that happen to kids because this is just so wild. I also have not watched the series yet. So I need to watch a series and see what's going on and check it out and see what all the details are. But Josh Peck, who I didn't know was from that era, has finally said something. And everybody, according to what this article says, everybody was waiting for him to say something because he was on Nickelodeon during the time that this documentary claims that all these things was happening. And so the former Nickelodeon star broke his silence Thursday over the quiet onset documentary amidst mounting pressure from his fans, who were very vocally calling him out to say something as he continued to post on social media without addressing it. First and foremost, I will say, not that it's any of my damn business, because none of this happened to me, but I don't think it's anyone's responsibility to have to talk about anything that happened to them. Or there's this weird need for everyone to say something about what they experienced. You know, maybe it was traumatic for him. Maybe he's not ready to talk publicly about it. Since when is everyone expected to be so public about the private things that happen in their life? To me, that seems antithetical to the healing process. Yeah, talking about it might help. There also is some evidence and other theories to show that talking about it too much can exacerbate the issue. So who knows what's right or wrong? But I just think this pressure for someone to talk about something so horrible is kind of, it feels like a consumer-based gossip, like a dish of gossip. Like people just want to eat that dish. They don't want to like hear and be like, oh, we support you and want to help you. No, they want to hear so they can gobble it up because people love gossip. Hello, this is an article on TMZ, a platform built off of gossip and consuming celebrity gossip. So he kind of addressed it, I guess, a little bit. He said, I finished a quiet onset documentary and took a few days to process it. I reached out to Drake privately, who is the one that sort of is a whistleblower and broke the news of all this. But he wants to give his support for the survivors who are brave enough to share their stories of emotional and physical abuse on Nickelodeon sets with the world. It's just kind of wild to me. I'm on the cusp of we know too much, but we also need accountability. But this is my childhood. And so all these institutions that were the building blocks of our childhood entertainment, the Cosby Show, Michael Jackson music, Nickelodeon, they're all built on pedophilia and lies. And it feels horrible. And it makes me want to almost redo childhood. And it makes you wonder what's going on now that down the road we're going to look back and be like, God damn it! No! Don't ruin it for me. But this is what happens. This is life. This is the reality of what happens when people aren't paying attention enough. And I'm not victim shaming. I can't stand terminology for just expressing your opinion. I'm not victim shaming when I'm saying some people should have been paying more attention. Where were the parents? You can't just sell your kid. You can't just throw your kid on Instagram. You can't just throw them into the entertainment industry and trust that people who are running the entertainment industry have your child's best interests at heart. I'm in the entertainment industry and I'm an adult. I entered it as an adult, luckily, but I've been in it for 20 years. And let me tell you, it is a man eats woman world. And when you meet women who are in the entertainment industry and you hear about them being called bitches, well, they had to become one. And it just is a shame that these children, it sounds like, didn't have advocates for themselves and didn't have anyone on set. Now the entertainment industry should be rebuilt. There should be people on set. Forget about the stupid tutors. School sucks anyways. Nothing you learn in school is going to help you in life. Not our modern education system. For fuck's not. It's not going to help you in life. Our modern education system's a farce. So forget the tutor. Get RoboCop. If we're going to have androids and we're going to have AIs and we're going to have robots, have them be protective for the children. Have it be a bodyguard robot bodyguard for your son and your daughter. I'll buy that. I'll pay for that. I'm not going to invest in Neuralink, but I would get a robo bodyguard for Timmy. If he wants to go on the audition, sure, you're bringing robo bodyguard. Because I don't trust these slimy producers and casting directors and regular directors. And hell, even the person at craft services, I don't trust you. Because I know what goes on. This is where accountability is so important. It's horrible. And I don't even know all the details of what happened. I know enough to know that it was very uncalled for and illegal. And now I look at Amanda Bynes and I'm like, oh, everyone called her crazy. Everyone called Amanda Bynes crazy and continues to call her crazy. Let me tell you, I'm not 100% sure, but I would go out on a limb and say a majority of the crazy people like her, especially in the entertainment industry, the craziness is a symptom of something that happened to them. It's a result of an event of a consistent behavior, of consistent abuse. And Amanda Bynes is the product of the entertainment industry and what happens in the dark side of entertainment. And so if you're a parent or if you're somebody who wants to get your kid in entertainment, think twice. Think twice. And not to make it too dark, but there was an article about the FBI doing like a decade-long investigation on parents on Instagram and them setting up subscription-based profiles of their children on Instagram. So when you think that children have advocates, think twice, because where there is money to be made, there are evil people everywhere surrounding a child, even the parents. We've seen it happen over and over. So see something, say something. Don't keep quiet. And I realize it's a little hypocritical to me beginning this conversation about Josh Peck. This is a different thing that I'm saying. Josh may have been a victim. Victims can't necessarily speak for themselves when they're children. So I hope whoever did whatever they did gets their day. That's what I hope. Remember Harvey Weinstein wobbling his fat toad ass into the courthouse on the tennis balls? Go ahead, toad. I hope you slip and hit your chin on the concrete. That's where you can go. Karma's going to get you. I don't have to worry about it because karma's going to get you. Karma will come around. Oh, I really hope they're okay. I get a little heated about that. And speaking of heated, another thing that happened, and I'm glad that Deb sent this article because I had an experience with Delta. Switching gears a little bit, a man was arrested after allegedly boarding a Delta flight using a photo of another passenger's ticket. When are the airplanes going to start paying attention? What's going on? It feels like balls are being dropped left and right. All of these Boeing recalls and Delta, all the flights are delayed. I can't even get a bottle of water on a flight anymore. They don't even do beverage services. When you got us out in the tarmac for 2 hours, I'm parched. Everything in my body is dry. So it didn't surprise me when this happened. A Texas man was arrested after boarding a Delta flight in Salt Lake City on Sunday without buying a ticket by using a photo he took of another passenger's boarding pass while they were not looking. How was he even able to get through? I don't know what it is. Is it a staffing issue? Well, what about the people that you have? Are they complete idiots? It feels like everybody at an airport is a complete idiot. It feels like a sketch. And I feel like something is going to happen that is going to flip the airline industry and travel industry on its ass, because it feels like all of these little things boiling up to one big crescendo of a disaster. So before the flight was boarded at Salt Lake City International Airport, security footage shows Florizard. God, why are all these names so difficult? Snapping photos of multiple passenger phones and boarding passes while they weren't looking, and then using his own phone to board the flight. It's unbelievable. To Austin, Texas. Look, Joe Rogan's club is great. It's not that great. It actually is that great. I can see if this guy was going to Joe Rogan's club. Like, all right, we get it. But you can't do it this way. Once on the plane, the guy went to the lavatory at the front of the aircraft and spent a significant amount of time there while other passengers were boarding. It's kind of a genius scam the way this guy ran it. After the boarding was complete and just before the aircraft doors were secured, the guy exited the front lavatory and made his way down to the back of the aircraft and went to the aft lavatory. When he exited the bathroom, a flight attendant noticed there were no available seats and approached Feliz Navidad to assist him to the complaint. I just called this guy Feliz Navidad. His last name looks basically like Feliz Navidad. Don't deny it. He told the flight attendant that his seat was 21F, but the crew member verified that the person who purchased the ticket for that seat was already sitting in the fucking seat because he had a fake ticket. Once they obtained his actual name and determined he didn't have a ticket or booking reservation, the plane had to be returned to the gate and he was met by law enforcement. At least there's some accountability. Doesn't seem there's necessarily a lot of accountability for white guys, but if you're non-white, you'll get some sort of accountability. I don't know what Florizard is. It sounds non-white. I could be completely wrong. This guy might have been a white fella. Do you know what does he look like? He's only 26 years old. And he was facing one count of stowing away on a vessel or aircraft. That's like such a turn of the century crime. Stow away on an aircraft. This guy, this snaky fella, was trying to stow away on a locomotive. He had been in Park City, Utah for a snowboarding trip, and he said he needed to get home to see his family. He said he was booked on a Southwest Airlines flight earlier, but the flight was overbooked, so he rescheduled on a later flight. He admitted that he had made a mistake and was only trying to get home. It's just a little shady. CNN has been unable to determine whether Florizard has an attorney. And Delta Airlines spokesperson Morgan Durant said the airlines is cooperating with the investigation. Delta's cooperating with law enforcement and relevant federal agencies regarding investigation into non-ticketed. What you should be doing is an overhaul of your business. Because Delta right now is struggling and it sucks. And one of your boarding agents was really rude to me, so rude to me that I had to file a complaint. And I'm not one to complain. You guys know me. I may complain a lot on this podcast. I'm not wrong. Debbie just showed me the photo. She's probably already popped up in the video. He's non-white. Are you shooketh that he had to be held accountable? And the dude from Nickelodeon, it's been, what, 20 years, and we're just now getting around to it? There's a discrepancy oh, my God. He couldn't be any more non-white. There are discriminations and discrepancies in our justice system. It's nothing new. I just said it, and I'm glad I wasn't wrong. And Delta can suck a duck because they suck. And the guy, when I was boarding the plane, I'll just tell you what happened because my assistant was with me when I had to make this voice to text. She's like, what happened? Jesus. Because she doesn't see me do that. And so if I'm saying something the way I was saying it yesterday, she knows I'm not messing around. So I go to board my flight back from Syracuse to Los Angeles. Now, I know I am also in an emotional state. But I'm also, my parents raised me to be respectful. And it's not a struggle for me to be kind to people. It's my disposition. And people who are closest to me can attest to that, I'm sure. Do I have off days? Do I have days where my mood isn't as cheerful and glowy? Sure. But I'm also very cognizant of the fact that when people are working jobs like that at the airport that are tough jobs and having to deal with customer service, I'm cognizant of that. I know and understand you've probably dealt with horrible people. So I'm going to compensate for you. So I show up, I've got my jacket, my neck pillow. I got a roller bag and Bunny in her bag, two bags. She counts as a bag. I've got my roller bag, my carry on. I also have something I purchased, like a salad and something else, like a bag I bought in the terminal. As far as I can see, I don't have too much luggage. There's nothing extra on my person. So I scan my boarding pass. The gate agent gives me a once over and lets me through. And then as I'm going into the hallway thing. What do they call that thing? The gate, you know, the tunnel, the fucking there's a special terminology for it. I go into there. He goes, oh, wait, ma'am, wait. First of all, I don't like to be called ma'am. I do not like to be called ma'am. It pisses me off. Enclosed elevated passageway, which extends from an airport. airport terminal. It's a boarding bridge, passenger boarding bridge. Deb for the win. As I'm going into the PBB, she's marking my horn laugh. As I go into the PBB, he goes, "Excuse me, ma'am." And a little fire boiled in my womb when he called me ma'am. I'm not going to lie. But I didn't project that onto him. I just made a note of it. Like, oh, funny. And I also need to post that ma'am clip that we made months ago. He goes, "You have too much stuff." And I looked and I go, what do you mean? He goes, "Well, you have too many items." And I said, "How so?" Just as much as I am a kind person, I am a challenging human being. I am aware of that. I will push back. If I feel that I'm confused, genuinely confused, I will push back. And sometimes it can come off as being blunt and straightforward, but that's just how I am. I can be very straightforward, and it's only when I'm trying to get the most concise response and understand what you're saying, because if we color it up too much, I'm going to be confused. So what do you mean I don't have enough? Or what do you mean I have too much? He said, "Well, you're only allowed two personal items." And I look and I go, "Where's the extra stuff?" He goes, "Well, ma'am, you're going to have to check. You're going to have to gate check that bag." And I said, "No, I'm not." And he just kind of like, I said, "I'm not going to check this bag. You know what I'll do for you? I'll consolidate. And I'm going to do it right in line because I don't know what else to do because I'm beyond the door now. I'm in the PBB. And the rules of the PBB, you and I both know, buddy. Once you go through, you're not getting out. Okay? It's a lot like those two statues in the Neverending Story. Once you start to go through those suckers, you ain't going backwards. Okay? You're going to die. You're going to die. So you have to keep running forward or else you're not going to make it." So I may have been a little heated when I was packing my stuff up because I knew once I got beyond that, I would have to unpack it and take it out again. I'm working on 1,000 things and I have to write and be able to have access to these items while I'm on the plane. And so I'm packing things up as quick as I can because I'm in everyone's way because he decided to stop me beyond the PBB. And I zip it all up. I go, "Look, there. Now I don't have too many items." And he goes, "Can I see your boarding pass?" And I said, okay. And so I give him my boarding pass and he takes it, goes to the little desk, does something at the desk and comes back and hands it to me. And I go, "What'd you do to my boarding pass?" And he kind of went, I lied to my face. And I go, "Oh, is that what you did?" And he handed me my pass back. And I'm like, "Have a good day." And then I went and I typed. Because the one thing I will say is I travel a lot. I don't even travel a lot as much as most people, but I do travel more than the average person. And I know the flow. I know the rules. I'm able to expedite almost everything. And so this guy just was unnecessarily rude to me. And I hope he wasn't having a bad day. But sometimes you got to fight a fight. And I had to fight a fight. And it did come after me being in a dangerous Uber ride that threw me for a loop. We're going right from the ABCDs. Let me see. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U. So we went from Delta. Now we're going to U, to Uber. I got into an Uber ride. And this is another customer service email that I had to send this week. And the guy makes a turn. My Uber driver makes a turn, a left-hand turn. And I didn't see what happened. But a car on the other side of us either came too close or came into our lane. My Uber driver proceeded to beep and honk at the other car with me in the car. So that car swerves around in front of him. My Uber driver, fast and furious, is to the right. Then the car in front of him cuts him off again. My Uber driver goes around. I get nauseous in the seat. I should preface this whole story with, if I'm in the back seat or not driving, I get seasick or motion sick, all the sick. And so as he's weaving and bobbing and swerving, I'm starting to get nauseous, but also it's dangerous. So he wheels around this car and he pulls up next to what are for sure gang members, because they were under eye tattoos, like prison tattoos, and not good ones. These are things that were done with like a hot bobby pin and some Bic ink. And we pull up and there's death in their eyes. And my very white driver is screaming through the window, the open window, at these guys. And I go, "Sir, not today." That's my new slogan. Not today. Not today, sir. Not with me in the car. We're in California. I don't know if you've read the news lately, but people have road rage that is lethal in this state. So why don't you zip up your white supremacy face and shut your Citizen X mouth, because you look way too white to be screaming through an open window at these very nice Mexican gentlemen that are here. And literally, the way they handled it, they were just like, chill, man. They handled it so chill. I saw them and I literally was like this out the window. Please don't shoot us. I don't know him. I'm not with him. He can't sit with us. So this man thought it was a good option to yell at the cholos driving next to us, who were very kind and sweet. And I applaud them for the way they handled the situation. The crazy white guy, on the other hand, I thought this was going to... I basically turned into Sandra Bullock from the movie Crash. I was like clutching my pearls. Ah! I don't want to die. Just going to Enterprise to get a car rental. So that's my slogan. Not today. Not today. And there's a lot more that I wanted to discuss. Let's see if I missed anything here. We got through all the Nickelodeon stuff. Oh, we do have one Maybays mail from Christina Evans, who always says hello and sends messages once in a while. What's up, Christina? And she says, Angry Annie's had me laughing, but did you know smashrooms are a thing? Next time you're home, oh, I wish I would have saw this before I came home. Next time you're home, there's one in Westvale Plaza. It's awesome. You just smash the shit out of things. You can throw it, smash it, crowbar it, hammer it, and there's an art room. You can throw paint all over the walls. And I said, oh my God, what? So thank you for that little tidbit of information back when we were talking about when you're angry, you should have smashrooms. Well, another idea was stolen. I feel like Erykah Badu basically took my wide brim hat. It's the same thing. Not today. That's my new vibe. Not today. You know what we say on this podcast, kids. Maybays, everything happens for a reason, a season, a lesson, or a blessing. And you have to choose it for yourself. So I'm going to choose to find the blessing in the experience of not dying in my Uber car. That was a blessing. And also, it was a blessing that I got some extra miles from Delta. Great, so I can fly more in your planes that are unreliable. Not today. Next time somebody tries, you guys, you just tell them, not today. Not today, Satan. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you had fun. Don't forget to email us, jessiemaypelusocomedy@gmail.com for suggestions, questions, comments, concerns, and rate the podcast 5 stars. Love ya.
When you got the right foods and nutrients in the body, mm-hmm. you feel better. Mm-hmm. So you treat other people better. You don't need as much. When you're deficient of nutrients, you need more stuff. So you're going to be pulling energy from everybody and everything. And sometimes that comes in the form of insulting them or bringing them down so you feel better. Right. But it's all about the food. Them 5 doctors. That's Dr. Sun, Dr. Green, mm-hmm. Nutrition. Okay. Dr. Sleep,
yes.
Dr. Exercise,
yes.
And Dr. Spirit. Wherever, somewhere, go somewhere and be with yourself.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.